title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. Living Life Beyond Regret. And today I'm going to wrap this up, and I want to talk about redemption and restoration. Would you please say that out loud? Say redemption and restoration. And so if you haven't heard any of the other messages, I encourage you to go back online and see if there's any that you're drawn to see if you wanted to listen to them. But I want to wrap this up by bringing it all together and talking about redemption and restoration. So living life beyond regret. I defined it this way, that regret is a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. I know that most people struggle with that in their life, struggle with the sense of sorrow that things have happened. That's very, very human. And then I've inserted parenthetically here that could be disappointments, just things that have happened that you were disappointed. Could be mistakes that you made. I know I do this, that I'll go through in my mind over and over, why did I say that or why did I do that? I think that's human nature, and we're trying to train ourselves to not live in that kind of regret. And so could be disappointments, could be mistakes that you've made, could be failures where you really failed at something. You might have failed at school. You might have failed financially. You might have failed in a relationship. Losses, the losses of a loved one. You might be here today and thought, I just didn't have the kind of time that I wanted with that person that I love so much. You missed that opportunity and you felt like there were losses in your life. You might have lost a loved one. Someone passed away very, very close to you. And then just missed opportunities. And you could probably think of some more, but I just put that in there, that it's this feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. Disappointments, mistakes, failures, losses, and missed opportunities. And so we've talked about quite a number of different things. I gave you this visual, and I want to put this up on the screen if we have this, that God sees our life from beginning to end. And it's like the aerial view of a train. So you're on a journey today and you're in the middle of this train. You're on one of these cars. And so you can't really see the beginning and the end. You're just traveling along. But here's the great news is that God sees this from an aerial view. And so the Bible says that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And that means that he sees the beginning of my life and he sees the end of my life. Now that's great news, because whatever you're going through today, the Lord sees what you're going to be like at the end of that process. That is great news. And so if you're in the middle of a valley today, I've got great news for you. You're going to make it through that valley. You're going to get to the other side. And so this is so encouraging. And the way I want to have you look at this today is that train is really like your timeline. And this would be a really important thing to think about, that God is outside of time, but he can see your timeline. And so if we will understand redemption, he comes and he touches us anywhere in our timeline, anywhere that we've experienced. Could be a point of pain, it could be a bad memory, but the Lord can come in and heal those places so that we can be changed right now. Say amen to that. And so I want to talk to you about redemption and restoration. So restoration means to return, repair, or renovate something back to its original state. So if you were to think of a house that was in disrepair and you went into a renovation project, you would want to renovate it, restore it to its original glory. It could be an art piece. It could be a masterpiece that's restored. It could be a piece of furniture. But it's this idea of restoring it, renovating it, repairing it, restoring it back to the original state. And so when you think about mankind, when Jesus came, he came to restore us back to the original state of living in paradise and in the glory of the garden. Redemption, simply put, is this. Redemption means to buy back something that was lost or stolen. So when you put those two things together, I got great news for you today. God wants to restore you back to his original intent for you. He wants to repair some things. He wants to renovate some things in your life. And then he wants to redeem. He wants to buy back something that was lost. He wants to rescue some things that were lost in our lives. So let me define redemption for you. Now, to understand redemption, you have to understand the New Testament and the context of the New Testament. At that time, there was a lot of human trafficking that occurred. There was a lot of slavery that took place. In fact, some historians say that Rome, the population of Rome was about 2/3 slaves at the time. That's astounding to even think about. And so when we talk about redemption, it's this idea of a marketplace. In fact, there's a couple of words for redemption, and one is agorizo. It actually means the slave market. And so if you could draw that up on your video screen, that you just have this sense that all of us have been slaves to sin. All of us have been in bondage. So listen to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and this is out of the Contemporary English Version. Speaking of Jesus, you are worthy because you were killed, and with your own blood you bought for God people from every tribe, language, nation, and race. So when you think of redemption, think about this, that you were lost, that you were in bondage, but Jesus came, God came to buy you back. He paid a price for you to set you free. Listen to Colossians 1, 13 and 14. This is out of the New Living Translation. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. And so Jesus purchased my freedom. He purchased me from the slavery of sin. He set me free. He rescued me. But he literally gave his life. If you think about this, in the first century, in the marketplace, many slaves were disrobed. Can you imagine the humiliation? Can you imagine the shame of being disrobed and then being sold into slavery? But if you think about this, Jesus was disrobed at the cross. And so he suffered our shame. He suffered our guilt. He suffered that kind of embarrassment. But now there's a robe of righteousness for you. And so I don't think it's by accident that they gambled over Jesus's clothes. They disrobed him. They gambled over his clothes. But now the Bible says this in Revelation 19 and verse 13, that Jesus is in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Here's the great news for you and I. Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. So this begins to describe redemption for us, that every one of us were on the auction block. Every one of us were sold out to slavery, if you will, into bondage. But Jesus comes to purchase us back. Jesus comes and takes our place so that you and I can be free. That's the picture of redemption in the New Testament. And it's absolutely powerful. So it's this sense of the marketplace, the agorizo in the Greek, the marketplace of slaves. And it's this sense of the restoration of sinners, that God has restored us. Listen to Ephesians 1 and verse 7. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And so Jesus has come to buy us back so that we wouldn't be in bondage anymore, but he would really take us back by his grace to be saved. Listen to Galatians 4, 6 to 7. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And that word Abba means daddy. There's a closeness there. We call out daddy, father. Watch this. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And this is really powerful. So not only did Jesus come to rescue me from my sin, the bondage of my sin, but he buys me and I become his child, and I have full rights as an heir, as a child of God. So I'm called his son. You're called his son. You're called his daughter. We're called his children. And thus we have complete inheritance, complete heritage that God has for us. And that's really important. So it's not just that God forgave us of our sins, which is really powerful, but he forgave us of our sins and he's put us into a place where we can actually rule and reign. This is so powerful. So we read in Revelation chapter 5 that Jesus is worthy, and I want to read it again. He's worthy because he was killed. And with your own blood, you bought for people, got brought for God, people from every tribe, language, nation, and race. And then he goes on to say this, you let them become kings and serve God as priests, and they will rule on earth. This is amazing. So that's really redemption. Redemption is that all of us were in sin. Jesus comes to pay the price. He takes our place on the cross, sheds his blood. But because of his blood, he comes to rescue us, to set us free. But here's the powerful thing. It doesn't stop there. He places us in a position where we can rule and reign as kings and queens. Say amen to that. Okay, so I've got great news for you today. God made you to be a king, made you to be royalty, made you to be a princess, made you to be a prince. He created you to rule and reign. This all happens because of the power of redemption. And this is what we have available to us. Say amen to that. Now, we're talking about redemption and restoration. We're talking about all of these different things that we have mentioned, the history of pain and the regrets that maybe we have had. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we can bring this up on the screen here. And I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. Now, look what it says here. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, I've inserted parenthetically here the Greek word. This is actually where we get our word peripatetic. If you're familiar with that word, peripatetic, it's an itinerant walk. It's moving from place to place. If we said somebody had a peripatetic ministry, Jesus had a peripatetic ministry. He moved around. He was preaching and teaching. And so if there's peripatetic, it means you're walking from place to place. And I want you to keep that in the backdrop of your thinking. See then that you walk. You're peripatetically. See then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, you walk with wisdom. You walk prudently. You're thinking about where you walk. You're thinking about where you're going, what you're doing. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so the Lord wants us to think about redeeming our timelines, redeeming those places, all the things that we've been talking about in this series, redeeming those places by his grace and transforming our now, because we invite him into those places that are painful and the memories that are holding us back. And so I really want you to think about this timeline where you're asking the Lord to come and to redeem certain areas in your life. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but Jesus can travel through time. He can travel through time. And I'm going to show you a couple little things to make you just think about this a little bit. In Psalm chapter 139 and verse 5, and this is out of the Passion Translation, it says, you've gone into the future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the hurt of the past. What's he saying? He's saying he's the God of the now, he's the God of the future, but he's the God of the past. And so David had a revelation of grace even before grace was released to us. He had a revelation of this grace. And so God is a God of the future, prepare the way of the future, follow behind me to heal me of the hurts of the past. This is the idea of revelation. Now, Jesus travels through time. And I'll give you some ideas about this. When you study theologically and you read the Old Testament, you're going to come across a phrase about the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord is actually different than all the other angels. The Bible is very, very clear that we're not supposed to worship angels in any way. We only worship the Lord. Say amen to that. That's good to know. So we don't worship angels. But Jesus had not been born yet. But yet there are some times where the Lord shows up, he manifests himself, and he comes as an angel in order to communicate with people at that time. Now, this is mind-bending. It'll actually blow your mind if you think about it. So God could have communicated with people in different ways, but he says, I'm gonna send an angel. In other words, he says to Jesus, go and manifest yourself as an angel, even though Jesus hasn't been born yet. And so angels come. And I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures where we know it's more than just an angel, but the language that takes place. The first instance is when Hagar had she was going to have her baby. And you'll remember, let me back up. The promise was that God was going to have Abraham and Sarah have a child. That was going to be their promise. But they couldn't get pregnant. And so one day Sarah says to Abraham, hey, just sleep with my maiden Hagar. And so she discovers that she's pregnant. Now Sarah's jealous and she drives her out. And the Bible says that she's in the desert and she has no idea what she's going to do. And the angel of the Lord shows up. And he begins to comfort her and speak to her. And here's what it says in Genesis 16. It says, the angel of the Lord told her, I will increase your descendants. Now that's remarkable because he's talking about as though he's God. He says, I'll increase your descendants. And she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You're the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. So much more than just an angel. It was Jesus. What theologians would call a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Jesus shows up as the angel of the Lord in her most painful time. He says, I see what you're going through. And so I want you to know today, sometimes we're trying to make sense of the pain in our life and the things that have taken place. God sees those places of pain in your life. He's the one who sees. And so he saw what was happening in her life. Jesus traveled through time, if you will. He was there. Why? Because he's outside of time. And he said, let me go and minister to her. That's one example. Another example is when Abraham, God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to sacrifice your own son. Can you imagine? This was a test for him. Would he be willing to sacrifice his one and only son? And so the Bible says that he goes into the region of Moriah, and he's going to sacrifice his son. But then the Lord intervenes and provides for him. And listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 22, verses 15 to 17. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. Can you see where it's a lot more than just an angel? He's speaking. The Lord's speaking. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. So the Lord shows up as an angel with Abraham right at this crisis point in time. Now, we should say as a footnote here that the region of Moriah, most scholars believe, this is where Jesus was sacrificed. And so where Golgotha was Moriah. And so it's not by accident that this took place as a test where Abraham, was he willing to sacrifice his one and only son? But who shows up at that moment in time is Jesus as the angel of the Lord. And he says, I'm going to provide a sacrifice to you. But it was much more than just that moment in time. He was looking to the future on Golgotha. He was going to be back and he was going to be sacrificed on Moriah. And so he travels through time. He can come into these places. And so I want you to know today that God provides redemption. He sees your pain just like he did for Hagar, but he provides redemption for you. And that's his promise to us. Here's a third example. You know, God lets you choose. This is the example of Jacob. And Jacob had this vision where he saw this ladder going to heaven, and the Bible says that angels came back and forth. But then Jacob begins to wrestle wrestle with this man. And the Bible says this, Jacob said, please tell me your name. So can you imagine? He's wrestling with this man. He's wrestling with him. Please tell me your name. But the man replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Now, we know from the text that no one can see the face of God and live. That's clear. We see that throughout the scripture. So if he was able to see the face of God, whose face was he seeing? It's the face of Jesus. So Jesus shows up as the angel of the Lord and wrestles with him. There's so much in this passage. But basically, God gives you the ability to choose. And there might be someone here today where you're wrestling with God, where you are wrestling with the Lord. You are wrestling. Are you going to really surrender to him? Are you going to really do it God's way? Well, God showed up in Jacob's life, and he wrestled with the Lord. But then he says this, I'll bless you. And if you get to that place of surrender, the Lord promises that he will bless you. So think about this. Jesus travels through time. How could he do that? Because he's outside of time. Is your mind being stretched a little bit here? He's outside of time, but as the angel of the Lord, he can appear here. He can appear here. Even before he was born, and then he was born. Now, when Jesus walks the earth, he changed matter. Think about this. So he could travel through time, but Jesus can also change matter. His very first miracle, he changed water into wine. He changed physical matter. That's great news, because if he changes physical matter, he can change some things in your life. He changed limbs that were crippled, and he made them strong legs. Literally changes matter. And that's really powerful. What else did he do? Well, he changes broken hearts into joyful lives. So Jesus comes in, can look at your timeline. He can travel through time, touch you in different areas, the most painful places where you've been. He sees you. He provides redemption for you. If you're wrestling with some things, he will come and bless you. But he wants you to know today that he changes matter. He changes matter. He can change water into wine. He can change crippled limbs into strong legs. He can change broken lives or broken hearts into joyful lives. Man, this is the idea of redemption. Say amen to that. Let's go a little bit further. Jesus can travel through time. He can change matter, but he can also restore lost time. Jesus can restore lost time. If you're here today, and I wonder if there's someone here where you feel like you've lost some things in your life, you've lost finances, you've lost relationship, you feel like you've lost time, the great news today is that Jesus wants to restore that lost time in your life. And let me give you three examples in the scripture where he really did restore lost time. He stopped time. So Jesus can travel through time. He can change matter in time, but listen carefully, he can come and actually stop time if he needs to in your life. King Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings of Israel, and he accomplished just many things for the Lord. They basically had revival at the time under the leadership of King Hezekiah. And so because of that, they were flourishing, they were prospering, they were building all kinds of things. And then the Bible says that King Hezekiah had an illness, had a sickness unto death. He was going to die. And so the Bible says that he wept bitterly, and he began to cry out to the Lord. And then God told him this. He says, I will heal you and add 15 years to your life. And he said, Lord, how will I know that that's going to happen? How do I know that you're going to actually add 15 years to my life? And so he goes to Isaiah the prophet. Listen to the scripture. In 2 Kings 20, Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And then Isaiah said, this is the sign to you from the Lord that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or backward 10 degrees? And so he said, go look at this sundial. And that's how they told time, was looking at the sun and the shadows. He says, is it going to go back? What's going to happen? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. And so Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had done or had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz." He literally stopped time by 10 degrees, and most scholars think that was about 20 minutes. God stopped time. So I've got great news for you today. Maybe you're here today and you've been struggling with a chronic illness, a chronic sickness. Maybe you feel like the emotional wounds have paralyzed you, have kept you from being able to really burst forward into your future and experience all that God has for you. Man, I've got great news for you. If God needs to, he will stop time so that he can heal you. Man, that's powerful. He stopped time for Hezekiah. He'll stop time for you. In other words, some of you might be here today feeling like that you haven't really fulfilled your purpose in life because of a physical condition, because of an emotional condition. God will stop time. He'll give you more time so that you can fulfill what he has for you in your life. Amen? And so King Hezekiah, he saw time stopped. Here's another example. Joshua and the Israelites, they needed more time to fight the Amorites. I wonder if there's someone here today where you feel like you're in the middle of a battle. You feel like you are just fighting things in your life. Could be finances, just could be the challenges of life. And so Joshua and the Israelites, they saw in the middle of the battle that time was running out. It was getting dark. They seemed to be losing the battle. So listen to what the scripture says in Joshua 10. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Aijalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. Man, that's powerful. So I got great news for you today. If you feel like time is getting away from you and you're not winning the battle, the Lord will stop time. Come on, somebody. He'll stop time so that you can win the battle. He's going to give you enough time. This is this sense of redemption. He will heal you to redeem you so that you can live in wholeness and in health. He will stop time so that you can win your battles. This is the idea of redeeming time. God redeems time. Let me give you another one. This is in the New Testament. And so this is when Philip is he's walking along. And the Ethiopian dignitary was riding in his chariot. And the Lord tells Philip, go up to the Ethiopian dignitary who's riding in his chariot. And he was studying the scriptures. And he began to ask Philip, well, what does all this mean? And then Philip begins to share with him the gospel. And he's so happy. And they're traveling and they see some water. And the dignitary says, hey, what prevents me from being baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip says, nothing. Let's go baptize you. And so they baptized him. But listen to what happened after they baptized. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Don't miss what happened. He baptizes this man, comes out of the water, the Ethiopians rejoicing, and then the Lord transports him, takes him away. See, Jesus can travel through time. Jesus can change matter, but Jesus can redeem things. In other words, Philip traveled through time. Because how long would it take him to get to Azotus? But he travels through time. In other words, he's there in an instant, right? That's why we say that the speed of light is so fast. It's almost like instant. I don't know if you know this, but I travel through time. I can leave Asia on one day. And as I'm traveling west, I arrive on the same day. I haven't lost any time. I haven't lost any time. I want us to think about this because really we need to think outside of our humanity just a little bit. Remember, God is outside time. So Jesus is not bound by time. And I hope we're thinking a little bit. I'm trying to get us thinking that Jesus can come and touch us in the areas of our life. Because sometimes we think in the sense that, oh man, that's over and I'm suffering the consequences for the rest of my life. Hear the word of the Lord. Redemption is truly removing sin, but also redeeming your time so that you're not suffering the consequences because he's placed you in a position where you're royalty, where you're king, where you're queen. And so Philip transports in time, travels in time. In other words, time isn't lost. He doesn't waste any time traveling. If I get on the airplane on one day and I travel west and I come to the States and I get there the same day, I've gained a whole day. That's redemption. That's redemption. That's the power of redemption. And so the Lord wants to tell us today that if we could just, and I'm trying to build our faith here, if we could just really understand the power of redemption, we would not lament or be so sorrowful or regretful about the past. God could heal us and he could change our now and the future because of the power of redemption. And so the scripture says it this way, Joel 2, verse 25. And remember that Israel was an agrarian society. So they were farmers. And the Bible says this, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. And so these locusts would come and destroy their crops. There's so much imagery there. There's so much symbolism as well. But you might be here today and feel like, man, the enemy has really destroyed my finances. The enemy has really destroyed my relationship. The enemy might have tried to ruin your ministry. The enemy might have tried to destroy things in your family. The Bible is clear here that God restores. Please say restore. Yeah. He restores to you the years that were lost, the years that were stolen by the enemy. That is redemption. Oh, glory to Jesus. And I'm here to announce to us today and proclaim and really prophesy to us today that God wants to heal our hearts from the past. But if we could embrace this sense of redemption, then there wouldn't be this terrible sense of loss. There would be this sense of, no, there's restoration. When I look back on my life and I think of maybe the things that have happened, the hurtful things or the mistakes that I've made, I have lamented over that. I've been so regretful over those things. And then I've punished myself in my mind. And I've thought to myself, well, I'll never have that opportunity again. And then I'll never succeed. That is incorrect thinking. Because true redemption receives God's healing and forgiveness and changes the now and the possibilities of the future. Amen? And so Jesus travels through time. He can travel through your memory so your timeline touch you wherever you are. Jesus changes matter. If he can change water into wine, if he can change limbs that are paralyzed into strong legs, if he can change a broken heart into a joyful life, then he can come and visit you and touch you and begin to change the now in your life and position you for victory in your future. This is really, really powerful. It's really important. And so Jesus can restore lost time. If he could stop time for Hezekiah, if he could stop time for Joshua, if he could transport Philip, then he could do the same thing in our life. Amen, church? And so I want to illustrate this by inviting you to go to Luke chapter 18. Look at Luke chapter 18. And as I read this, I want us to think about redemption. I want us to think about how God can redeem our timeline. Listen to Luke 18, and I'll start with verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. Think about this. Jesus stops time. Jesus stops in a moment of time. Jesus comes into your timeline. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." And that needs to be our prayer today. Lord, I want to see your redemption. I want to see what this is all about. Instead of just seeing the pain and the abuse and the hurt of the past, reveal to me that how you're looking at this from the big picture, how you're looking at this from eternity's perspective. Reveal this to me. I want to see, Lord. Because most of us are blinded by pain. Most of us are blinded by insecurities. Most of us are still being defined by the things that happened to us a long time ago instead of being defined by God's word. Most of us are imprisoned by the pain of the past instead of really living in redemption and the freedom that God has for us now. May God help us to see that he would reveal to us the big picture. Because all we see is that point of pain, that place in the timeline. But if we could see the big picture, God would reveal to us the power of his redemption. I mean, some of the things that I have gone through that are painful, I don't want to ever go through them again. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Some of the things that you have gone through, you don't want to go through them again. You don't want to wish them on anybody. That, you wouldn't want that. But I have to be honest, they also made me who I am. As painful as they were, I learned to be healed. I learned to be forgiven. I learned to walk in forgiveness. I learned to be transformed. And so there's this paradox that I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't want to change it either because it's who I am today and what I've learned about the grace of God. This is the mystery. And I'm sure that you would feel the same way. And so there might be someone here today where you went through something very, very painful, but isn't it amazing that when you go through something painful, that God heals you, and then you bump into a whole lot of people that have gone through the same stuff as you. And so now you bring healing to other pain, to other people. To be clear, God did not, I established this before, God did not make that happen, to be clear. Okay? God did not want those things to happen. He never wanted there to be evil in the world. But he heals and restores and redeems us. And by his grace, now we're completely different people. And may we see what that is all about. May we be revealed. May he reveal to us what it's all about. And so he says, I want to see. May that be our prayer today. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. And so I want to invite you to pray into this and say, Lord, I want to see. Reveal to me my timeline. Reveal to me my history and redeem it. Reveal to me the things that happen and then redeem that in my life. Heal me from those things. You know, when you look at the New Testament, God almost rewrites the stories of people in the Old Testament. We don't really like that idea of rewriting history. It's not a good thing to think about rewriting history. We want to be honest with history, right? But when you read the New Testament, it's such good news that it's almost like God rewrote the story of the people in the Old Testament. So, for example, we talked about Abraham today. Abraham was a mess. I mean, he really was. Most of the patriarchs were very dysfunctional people. They didn't know how to have good relationships. They didn't know how to have healthy marriages. There was jealousy. There was strife in their family. There was bitterness. There was all kinds of immorality that took place. These guys were messed up. I mean, think about what Abraham and Sarah did. To try to fulfill God's promise, they tried to manufacture it in the natural through immorality. And yet the Bible calls Abraham the father of our faith. I mean, think about this. It's almost like God rewrote it. But I want to say this. It's not that God rewrote it. He revealed the redemption. Please let that sink into your heart. It's not that God rewrote it. It's still who you are. You haven't changed. You can't necessarily change your past. So I've given you some things for us to think outside the box just a little bit to stretch our faith. But it's not that you can change your past. I'm not saying that. You can't necessarily change it. But God can reveal it in such a way that you see redemption through it. And so then instead of walking through the hurt and the pain, now you begin to walk with peace and healing and joy. And so your now is changed and your future will definitely be affected. And so he it is almost like he rewrites it. It almost like he, but instead of rewriting, he reveals it. Let me prove it to you. This is in Romans 4. So Abraham was messed up. He was really dysfunctional. But in Romans 4, 18 to 21, listen to what Paul says about Abraham. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Without weakening in his faith, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. What? What? Wait a second. That's not what he did, right? We're thinking that's not what he did. We saw it in the Old Testament. We saw the scenario with Hagar. But this is redemption where God, it's almost like he rewrote it, but he didn't because he put all the flaws and the hurt and the pain in the Old Testament. But it's such good news that it's almost like he rewrote it. So I'm going to say this. He didn't rewrite it, but he revealed redemption in Abraham's storyline. And so it's such great news. So now this is the story. This is the testimony. It's not Abraham who was immoral, Abraham who didn't have faith. No, it's Abraham who did not waver in his faith at all regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. And that's amazing. That's incredible. And so I'm here to declare to you today that God just wants to redeem your life. And so invite him in on the timeline. If we put this picture of the train, you're in the middle of a train, but you might have some really painful experiences in the past, and it's really affected you. Well, Jesus travels through time. Jesus goes right back, will heal you, and in all the confusion of why that happened, and there are some things you'll never know why, but there is evil in the world, and there are demonic forces. But now God will reveal the redemption that can take place in your life in those places. And now, wherever you're at in your journey, on that car, on that train, there can be peace, there can be healing, and because your past has been redeemed, now your future is looking incredibly bright, and instead of suffering the consequences and the pain and the losses and feeling like there'll never be another financial opportunity, you'll never have a good relationship, all of those lies that come, now you're living in redemption, and now God restores the years that the enemy has stolen. And instead of feeling like, oh, here's the incredible exponential power of grace. Instead of feeling like, oh, I got to recover for the next 10 years, 15 years, God can have you recover exponentially, and he restores those years quickly. That's the power of grace. That's the power of healing. Amen? So having said in this series, and I've taught that, you know, sometimes things do take time and you learn to renew your mind. You learn to be healed. You learn to be healed of certain things and walked in victory. Having said that, now I'm going to say this, that God can release his healing and his power very, very quickly in your life. Amen? And I'm not talking about denial where somebody denies the stuff. I'm talking about God's redemptive grace that works in your heart and in your mind so that you can be healed quickly. Come on, somebody. You can receive redemption quickly and you can move on. So we'll give you an example. The things that maybe we struggled with years ago and it was so painful, understandably so, and it was hard to forgive the person. But as we get to this place of redemption now, when someone hurts us, may we be like Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In other words, there's immediate forgiveness. That's the Son of God's example. Immediate forgiveness for somebody that's hurting you. Wow, could we get to the place where we're living in that immediate release of redemption where we forgive and we receive immediately what God has for us, that's redemption and restoration. And so if you feel like your house is a mess, there's a renovation taking place. If you feel like there's been a lot of debris, there's going to be a good cleanup and a restoration to the original intent that God has for you. That's restoration and that's redemption. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet.